Amen. Well, at this time, let's get into the word of the Lord. Get your Bibles, and I'd like you to turn to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He was known as the weeping prophet not because he was a crybaby. He was known as the weeping prophet because he knew God's judgment was right at the door. And his heart was broken for the children of Israel. Jeremiah. I want you to turn to chapter 30 of Jeremiah. And I want to speak with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart. Something that will be kind of, maybe not a sermon, but a teaching sermon. Amen? A kind of teaching, preaching kind of scenario today. But I want to speak with you something the Lord placed upon my heart. How many of you believe that we're living in the end days? Amen. I believe it with all of my heart. And so I want to speak with you this message. Let's begin reading in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 7. It says this. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. And this is what he said. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. Write all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. For surely the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah. The Lord says, I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. These are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah, for thus says the Lord. I have heard the sound of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see, can a male labor with child? Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that no one is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Let's read verse 7 one more time. Alas, for that day is great, so that no one is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And I want to speak with you just for a few moments this morning on the subject of the time of Jacob's trouble. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me as your servant to be able to speak your word to this, your people. Hide me behind the cross and let your voice be heard. I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak your word with unction, Lord, as well as with power. I also ask for the anointing upon the hearers to hear what you are saying. I ask that you would be the one that would speak. And we give you this word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. This portion of Scripture is a very interesting portion. This portion of Scripture is prophetic. This is a Bible portion that is prophetic concerning the future. And what the Lord has to say in many chapters and in many verses here in the book of Jeremiah applied not only to Israel's history, but also have a future fulfillment. And I believe that some of this is about to be fulfilled. Jeremiah, as I said earlier, was known as the weeping prophet, but it was because he had God's heart. He had God's heart for his own people, and he was called of God to prophesy to his own people about impending judgment. We were talking about the kings earlier in our Sunday school lesson, and we remember and are reminded that the children of Israel during this time had begun to forsake the living God. They had begun to choose their own way instead of the way of the Lord. And the repercussions of choosing one's own way rather than the Lord's are devastating. And so devastation was right around the corner, and Jeremiah knew that the judgment of God was going to be harsh. It was going to be awful, and it wasn't going to be harsh and awful because God wanted to hurt his people. God instead had told them, this is coming, repent and turn. That the people would choose their own way and the judgment would be right at the door, causing this grief and pain in the heart of Jeremiah. Jeremiah knew by the Spirit of the living God that the people and the inhabitants of both Israel and Judah to the south would eventually be taken captive. They were taken captive because of the sin in their own lives. Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians, as we talked about this morning. The land of Judah was eventually taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar would do what no other king was able to do, in that he would sack and destroy Jerusalem and its temple. It would be destroyed in a way no other man could do, and it was because of God's judgment, because the people had turned in their hearts from God. The Bible brings also some other words of prophecy. Not only did Jeremiah know by the Spirit of God that the children of Israel would be in captivity for 70 years, after those 70 years were fulfilled, King Cyrus, the Persian ruler, would allow them to return to Israel, to rebuild the walls, to rebuild the temple, to re-establish their home in Israel. But the word of the Lord spoke even further into the future. There would be a time when not only would they be taken captive into Babylon, but later on, after Jesus had come, had died on the cross for all people, and would resurrect and ascend into heaven, later on in AD 70, the reconstructed temple was destroyed all over again by the Romans in AD 70. Eventually, by AD 130 or so, all Jews were forbidden to be in the land of Israel. This was known as the diaspora, the dispersion of the Jews throughout the four corners of the earth. And today, even today, the dispersion is still very real, the diaspora of the Jews. There are many Jews in the world today that are not living in Jerusalem or in the land of Israel. A big segment of them live here in the United States of America, some of them in Canada, other places of Europe and around the world. But there is coming a day, even as Jeremiah would prophesy right here, that there would be the regathering of all the Jews from Judah and the children of Israel, both kingdoms, Israel to the north and Judah to the south, would be reunited as one. And in God's future day, there will be the reestablishment of the Israelites there in Jerusalem. Mark my word, it is going to happen. Jeremiah said, "For surely," verse 3 here, "the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah." Notice how the Lord is linking them together. They are one. Thus, the Lord says, "I will cause them to return to the land that I have given to their fathers, and they shall possess it." And as you keep your eye on what is happening in Israel today, don't be surprised as you hear more and more of Jews and Israelites from around the world returning to Israel. This is going to happen before the day of Jacob's trouble. And then the Lord begins to speak to Jeremiah in verse 4. It says, "These are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah," as he goes into and leaps into another prophetic word. And this is what we want to talk about today. It says, "I have heard the sound of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see, can a male labor with child?" And he says, "Why do I see every man with his hand on his loins as a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas," he says, "for that day is great, so that no one is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble." Jeremiah is bringing out a day, a season, that will affect Israel to the extent that there will be no other day like it. In this prophetic word, Jeremiah, by the Spirit of the living God, is seeing men bent over with their hands on their loins in pain, as if giving birth to a child. But even as he says, "Have you ever seen a male doing such a thing?" Of course, you know it's impossible. Amen? It is impossible to be done. But the anguish and the pain that he sees these men in is so horrific that the Bible says clearly that it's a day not of peace, but a day of trembling and of fear. And what are you saying, Pastor James? I'm saying that there is coming a time that is known as Jacob's trouble, and I believe that it's in the not too distant future. Many believe, and I along with them, believe that the time of Jacob's trouble will happen during the final 7-year tribulation. There is an allotment of time, and you can read about it in Daniel chapter 9, the latter verses. But in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, it describes a season of 7 years. And those 7 years are descriptive of what we call the 7-year tribulation period, which I believe is just right on the horizon. But all of this that Jeremiah is seeing in regards to Jacob's trouble is ultimately going to be used to redeem his own people, Israel. For in today's day, we don't see a lot of Jews coming to Jesus. Thank God for the few that are and have come. But on the majority of Jews today don't believe in Jesus as their Messiah. But God has a way and has already preordained that there is coming a day that all Israel shall be saved. I want you to see it with your own two eyes. Turn to Romans chapter 11. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings out this fact. It's in Romans chapter 11, and I'll wait for the rustling of the leaves to stop because I want you to see it. The Apostle Paul had been given revelation by the Spirit of God, and he is writing to the Romans. And in Romans chapters 9 through 11, he writes about the Jews, which then had rejected the gospel for the most part. Even though Paul himself was a Jew and the apostles themselves were mostly Jews, by this time, most of the Jews had rejected the gospel, and now the gospel was going primarily to the Gentiles. But in Romans chapter 11, look what Paul says in verses 25 through 27. It says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery." And Paul is bringing out something that was not revealed in the Old Testament per se, but was now being revealed by the Spirit of God to the church. "I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, lest you be wise in your own estimation. For a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel shall be saved." I want you to say all.
All.
"All Israel will be saved, as it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I will take away their sins." God has a plan to save Israel. In the same way that he has instituted a plan to redeem the Gentiles, he ultimately has a plan to restore and to redeem his own people, Israel. And I am thankful to God that God is a big God, that he knows the end from the beginning, that he is able to preordain things, and these things will come to pass. For those that say that God has forsaken Israel, I say that that is anathema. That is not true. God is for his people Israel. And for any evangelical or Christian circle or anyone that says that God is against Israel, they are lying to you. God is for his people Israel. And God has a plan to redeem her. Amen. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for her peace. We need to pray for their salvation. Amen. But as we look at this time of Jacob's trouble, as I mentioned to you already, we believe that it is the time of the tribulation period. So how does that correlate? How is this going to work together? I want you to turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, as we read about the tribulation period. Matthew 24, this is the Olivet Discourse. You can read the similar episodes in Mark 13 and Luke 21. But in Matthew 24, And as we begin reading in verse 15, we read about the coming tribulation period. And I want you to just give a good ear here. It says that when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and the parenthesis says, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. The Bible describes something that is going to take place where there is going to be an abomination of desolation set up in a particular place. And we read about it in Daniel chapter 9. I want you to turn there really fast. Put your finger there in Matthew 24. And then turn to Daniel chapter 9 so we can see this. I want you to see it with your two eyes. So we can see what this abomination of desolation is. So that if we are around and we do see it, then we'll know exactly what is taking place. Daniel 9:27 says, Daniel is one of the prophets. If you got to Jeremiah and Ezekiel, you're too far. 9:27, Daniel chapter 9. This was a revelation given to Daniel. But in Daniel 9:27, it says this. And he, I want you to say he. And he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. I want you to say 1 week. How long is a week?
7 days,
exactly. But in this book, these are weeks of years, okay? So this is 7 years, a week of years. He will make a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and offering to cease. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed destruction is poured out on the desolator. This is describing the seven-year tribulation. And it describes something that's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period, 3.5 years into it. It says, he, and this is the Antichrist of the future, the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 describes him, if you want to read it later. He will make a covenant with many for 1 week. That's for 7 years. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he's going to cause the sacrifice and oblation or offerings to cease. That means that there has to be a temple rebuilt in Israel. The Jews will not sacrifice or offer any burnt offerings or any of these things in any other place but in the temple of Jerusalem. But right now, there is the Dome of the Rock sitting where the temple of the future will be rebuilt. The Antichrist is going to establish a covenant with the children of Israel for 1 week of years, 7 years. And the scripture describes that in the middle of it, he's going to break that covenant with Israel. And with the breaking of that covenant, he's going to stop their worship. He's going to stop their Judaistic practices. They're going to stop sacrifice, and they're not going to be able to do it. But then it says he's going to set up this abomination of desolation. Many believe that that will be an idol of himself there in that temple. For those that know a little bit of Israel's history, there was a time there between the Testaments, from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew. There's 400 years of silence. You don't read about it. It's not in your Bible. You can read about it in the Apocrypha, 1st, 2nd Maccabees, and what have you. But there was a ruler that was dominating that area of the world named Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. And Antiochus the Fourth had stopped them from offering sacrifices. He stopped them from practicing the rites of circumcision. He even sacrificed pigs on the altar in Jerusalem. And he is a type of the coming Antichrist. Now in the future, there is going to be a 7-year tribulation period. And within that tribulation period, after 3.5 years, will come the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a day that will be unlike any other. The fury of this Antichrist, this anti-God system, will be against the Jews. And Satan incarnate will try to destroy all Israel. It will be the time of Jacob's trouble. I want you to see it here in Matthew 24. Continuing to read at verse 16, it says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not return to take his clothes. Woe to those that are with child and to those who nurse in those days. Pray that your escape will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then will be great tribulation such as not happened since the beginning of the world until now. No, nor ever shall be. Unless those days were shortened, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. And the scripture is describing such a horrific day there in Israel that the Lord says, when you see the abomination of desolation set up in the place that it's not supposed to be, you get up and you get out. Don't stop and get anything out of your house. You get out of there because the destruction is going to be so bad towards the Jews that it will be unlike any other. And I mean, and when we consider the horrific things that the Jews have had to endure throughout their history, to think that there is something worse ahead is almost beyond our imagination. Y'all remember the evil Haman in the book of Esther wanted to destroy the Jews. Y'all remember King Herod destroyed all those children 2 years and under? You all remember the Holocaust? 6 million Jews put to death, obliterated by Hitler. All of that will pale in comparison to what is coming. Why would God allow this? Why would God even begin to allow such horrific tragedy to his own people? You ever thought about that for a little while? Why? We're talking about the children of Israel, but we're also talking about a people who have chosen not to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. You see, at the beginning of the tribulation, when this covenant is made, that covenant is going to be made between this man, this prince, this man of Rome, this Antichrist. But what's going to happen is the Jews initially are going to believe that he is the Messiah. Who is like this man, the book of Revelation says. The whole world will wander and follow the beast. The Bible says all that is called God will be represented in the Antichrist himself. You can read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It describes this man of sin. It describes a rebuilt temple. It describes the fact that the world will wander after this guy. The Jews themselves will believe initially that he is their Messiah. Somehow, we don't know how, but there is going to come the day they believe that the only way for them to be able to rebuild the temple is going to be at the orders of the Messiah. That means that the Antichrist is going to be very persuasive, diabolical, a man of peace. But the scripture says when they begin to say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come. They will initially believe that he is the Messiah. And God will allow that to be so that when they see the Antichrist turn his back on them and break this covenant and begin to want to destroy every single Jew in existence in that day, they're going to realize the error of their ways, and they will realize that Jesus Christ was and is their Messiah. And the Bible says that there will be a spirit of grace and of weeping poured out upon Israel, and they will repent nationally. And the Bible says they will look upon him whom they pierced. No, that one is in Zechariah. I'm kind of using a bunch of different verses there. Thessalonians talks about the man of sin, the Antichrist. And so follow me here. All of this is to open their eyes. Now, I want you to understand something. In the Bible, there is what is known as types of Christ. And one of the individuals I want to share briefly is Joseph. How many remember the story of Joseph in the Bible? He is a type of Christ. You'll remember, just like Jesus, he was sold and betrayed, wasn't he? Remember, Joseph's brothers sold Joseph into Egypt. Jesus was betrayed by being sold to the Pharisees for 30 pieces of silver. Y'all remember that? Remember they took the robe off of Jesus? Remember, they took the robe off of Joseph, the robe of many colors? Many similarities. Joseph is a type of Christ. But one of the things that I want you to understand here is that the story of Joseph brings out 7 years of good and then a period of 7 years of famine. That 7 years of famine is descriptive of the tribulation period of the future. And what's interesting about that period that Joseph and the Egyptians endured was interesting. Y'all remember Pharaoh had a dream. And in the dream, he had a dream of these cows, 7 healthy cows eating deliciously. And then all of a sudden, 7 unhealthy, dying cows came up and ate the healthy cows. Y'all remember that? 7 cows, 7 healthy cows, 7 bad cows. Then he woke up. Then he had another dream. And then it was 7 big old things of oats or whatever they were, you know, stalks of healthy grain or wheat or whatever it was. And then 7 unhealthy stalks came up and devoured the healthy ones. And so Pharaoh was troubled, and he looked through his kingdom for someone that could interpret what was going on, and Joseph was given that gift, and he interpreted the dream. The dreams. And he said, these two are one. The fact that you had it twice shows that it has been established and it's going to happen. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And we all remember the story, I think. And then in Genesis chapter 41, we read about the 7 years of famine. Toward the close, you read about those 7 years of famine beginning to be introduced. And the world of that day, especially that area of the world, began to experience horrific famine. They were hungry. And there was no other place where there was grain and food except in Egypt. By that time, Joseph had been given the power to be the second in command. Only by name was Pharaoh greater. You all remember that, right? God had given him wisdom, and he began to show them in the years of plenty how to store, how to get ready for what was coming. They prepared for it. And so only in Egypt was there food. And so the Bible in chapter 42 begins to show that Joseph knew his brothers, because his brothers by this time, and Jacob himself, his dad, began to get hungry. So they said, well, let's go to Egypt. I've heard there's bread in Egypt. And so all of them go, 11 of them, 10 of them go, I should say. Remember, Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was supposedly dead, right? So 10 of the other ones left. And Benjamin stayed home. They would eventually be given grain. Joseph knew who they were. Then Joseph would test them. Y'all remember that? He'd hold back one of the brothers, give them back all their money. They get to a particular point and they're afraid because, man, what's going on here? And so they're scared of Joseph. Look at chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. Oh, God, help us. Don't listen to your stomach right now. Oh, God. But I want you to see it, verse 6, real fast. The Bible says, now Joseph was the governor over the land. This is Genesis 42, very first book of the Bible. He was the governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. So Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers, and he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger to them and spoke harshly to them. And then the story will continue, and just for the lack of time, we're just going to step forward to the next time his brothers would come. In fulfillment of the dream that he had, there they are bowing before Joseph, just as he had dreamed when he was still with them. But what I want you to understand is this. After Joseph would try them, he would say, if you're really for real, you come back with your brother Benjamin. Bring him with you. And when he brought them, he made a big feast. He set them in order from the youngest to the oldest. I think when they looked around, they said, whoa, have mercy. This guy has arranged us by age. And there's Joseph holding back the tears as he's trying his best to hold back the joy and yet the grief in his heart at his brothers. And so the Bible says after this feast, he couldn't hold it anymore. And he told all those Egyptians that were with him, get out of here. And the Bible in chapter 45 brings out the revelation of Joseph to his brothers. That revelation of Joseph to his brothers is exactly what's going to happen when they realize the Antichrist is not the Messiah, and they begin to realize Jesus is the Messiah. There is coming a day when Israel, Jacob, remember Jacob and Esau. Y'all remember Jacob and Esau? Jacob and Esau, when Jacob was young, he was a supplanter, right? God would eventually change his name from Jacob to Israel. Now, all of this is still correlating with Jacob and Israel. You see, Joseph is a type of Christ. It's interesting that Israel has been without Jesus for a season, aren't they? Jesus ascended into heaven, and he's been in heaven for a long season. Remember, Joseph was outside of his father's house or outside of his brothers for a long time. But then when they came to Egypt, it was eventually in Egypt that he revealed himself to them. And when he revealed himself to them, you know the story, they were shocked, they were afraid, they were happy all at the same time. But then Joseph would say, it was for your benefit and for your salvation that I came here before you. God's heart is for his people, and he's going to open the eyes of the Jews one day. And it's going to be a beautiful day when that takes place. For right now, we have been brought into the household of God by faith. But there's coming the day when they themselves will also be brought into their own covenant. Amen? And there will be the revelation of the sons of God. It'll be an amazing thing of the future. You see, it was in the middle of the 7 years that they came to the place of understanding who Joseph was. In the same way, in the tribulation, that's going to be in the middle that they'll understand who Jesus is. And he will come and he will save Israel. Because the world and the Antichrist himself will be bent on destroying Israel. The book of Revelation describes the land itself protecting Israel. There's a place there in the area of Seir, the area where there are rocked communities, places that are in the rock. So many believe that the Jews will escape and hide away in that area where God's going to protect Israel from the fury of the Antichrist. All of that to say, the time of Jacob's trouble is coming. And I ask you, as a child of God, are you ready? Have you been sleeping, or have we been forsaking the necessity of us being awake and sober in these last days? Have we begun to party and began to forget the necessity of being right with God? Now is the time that we should be getting ready and being prepared. The 7 years of plenty was a time for them to prepare and get ready, because horrible times were coming. Thank God that we can still worship God in peace here in the USA. It's not always going to be promised to us. We don't know what's coming down the road. But if we're ready and prepared with our lives right with God, God will help us through no matter what comes our way. And so the time of Jacob's trouble is on the horizon. I really believe it. But if you in any way feel like you're unprepared, now's the time to get prepared. The way to be prepared is by first, of course, acknowledging your need for God in your life. If you've never opened your heart's door to God, to Jesus Christ, receiving him as Lord and Savior, then you must do that. He's made it possible for you to be saved now. And in doing that, there needs to be a commitment made that you will serve God wholeheartedly from that point onward. You see, when we come to God, we come to him by faith. But in coming to him, we repent and turn from all of our wicked ways. Amen? And we say, now, Lord, here is my life. Do with it what you will. And so I ask you, are you ready? That's a question only you can answer. I can't answer it for you. But in your heart, in your life, are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Are you ready for all of these things that are about to come to pass? If you are, praise the Lord. But if you aren't, it's time to get ready. Let's stand.